Hello and welcome back to That Haunted Show. It's me, Lewis. I hope you're all doing great. I've been doing pretty good myself. It's been a bit of a manic week this last week as I've been away, but I'm finally back. I'm getting ready to dive into the next topic all ready for you. Also, we're getting some new artwork that's been designed this week, and I've seen the draft already, and it's looking amazing, I won't lie. I'm hyped, like, so hyped. The podcast is doing really well. The theme tune's going good. You guys like it, which is amazing. And we're also getting good-looking artwork. It's like we're almost professional. I have a mic stand. Maybe not. Ignore my phone vibrating on the table. Let me whack that on silent. And yeah, like I said, we're almost professional. We got mic stand, pop filters, like some foam surround around the mic. It's almost like I could add a podcaster to my CV. So looking at spooky news this week, there hasn't been too much, to be honest. I struggled looking for topics, and I had a random thought today at work, and it just kind of stuck with me, so I'm excited to speak about it and inform you all, because I know almost everyone has probably heard about it, or even done it themselves, as well as countless films and TV episodes being based on the phenomena, so this should be a good one. Well, I'm hoping anyway. Yeah, I hope you guys are all doing well. The times are crazy over here, and it looks like we're about inches away from another lockdown, and the whole country is panicking about getting a cold over the winter. As much as I love horror, it really is a scary time out there, and I hope you're all being safe and doing what you can to protect yourself and the people around you. But I hope this episode might just take your mind off it for a little while. So sit back, grab yourself a coffee, and let's get ourselves haunted. Welcome to episode 6 of That Haunted Show. 6, man. That's actually crazy. I've managed to keep this up for 6 episodes. I didn't even think we'd get this far, but you amazing guys and girls out there have kept me going. Also, studying the actual analytics of my distributor, it's like 76% women, so man, come on guys, we need to get that ratio up. It is cool, like, we've got listeners all over the world, which, yeah, surprisingly enough, there's not actually that many from England, I guess. I guess England doesn't really like being haunted. I mean, it would make sense, like, I'm based in England, but it's something really low, like, only 20% of my listeners are actually English, so, I mean, it kind of sucks, but fair, what can you do? Who are really peaking, though, is Canada and America, so I guess they like getting haunted the most. So this episode itself is actually going to be based on the Bloody Mary mystery or phenomena or folklore, whatever you want to call it. So we all know Bloody Mary, right? And I'm not talking about Mary, the Queen of England. I'm talking about that scary old conjuration phenomena that you do in a mirror. I know for a fact we've all done it, come on. I mean, I used to do this all the time as a kid when I was younger, hanging out with my friends, trying to scare everyone. The story, or as far as I actually know, used to chant it into a mirror 3 times. Like so. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. So as it actually goes, I'm recording and there's a mirror opposite me. So I'm going to keep my eyes to the screen because they kind of freak me out a bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of side-eyeing the mirror right now. So if I go AWOL, you know what happened, okay? Call the police. Actually, no. Screw the police. Call a priest. Or if failing that, call Ghostbusters, man. Come on, please. After chanting her name 3 times in front of a mirror, she's meant to appear and kill you, or scratch your eyes out, or something like that. Which, what I've always heard, is apparently some scary old witch-looking woman should appear in the mirror, claw your eyes out, or something along those lines. I don't actually know how I learned at such a young age, but who knows? I mean, my mum really used to love horror movies, which, probably why as a kid, I had so many nightmares and was such a shy, scaredy cat of a kid, but now, man, I bloody love them. So I guess it's just swings and roundabouts. Like I was saying earlier, I can't actually remember why I thought of this topic today. It was just, maybe someone said something, but it kind of stuck in my head instantly. And usually, if I can actually remember something, it means something to me, right? Because, I don't know about you, but I usually forget literally everything. I'm not even joking, my memory is terrible. Unless it's something I'm super hyped for. I forgot to mention, if you guys follow my Instagram, just drop in some socials here, That Haunted Show on Instagram, of course. You would have seen my amazing new little kitty pumpkin. I am so hyped. She's adorable, man. I can't wait. I've had family cats, but I've never actually had my own cat. And man, I'm super excited. And also, I found out, and the craziest thing is, she'll finally be old enough to pick up on October 31st, which, of course, Halloween. And she's got a little orange nose, just like a little pumpkin. Man, it's fate. Like, literally, she's so cute, man. And I just found out her little brother, which is an all-black cat, is called Salem, which I thought was amazing. So yeah, if you follow the show on Insta, you may see a lot of cat pictures coming up in the following weeks. Hey, everyone loves cats, right? I know I certainly do. I'm definitely more of a cat person than... Well, actually, I wouldn't say I'm a cat person or a dog person. Like, I love them both, man. Like, ideally, I would like a dog, but I just think it's unfair. I mean, I work a fair bit. I mean, around 10-hour days, I leave at, like, 6:30 in the morning. I'm not back till around 4:30, 5-ish, so it would just be unfair. Yeah, a nice cat, be home with, it can hang out. I'm hyped. Now, the weirdest thing is, though, like, we're kind of looking into all your kind of pet insurance and what we need to actually do. And it's confusing. There's a lot to it. I thought you'd just kind of get a cat, do what you need to do at the vets, and that's it. But yeah, there's a lot you actually need to think of. And Jesus. And now my phone is literally, like, me and my girlfriend's phone are just blowing up with just blooming cat ads everywhere. That's like, you go on Facebook, you go on Instagram, it's just cat ads constantly. So yeah, your phone is definitely listening to you, because they are everywhere. Like, I can't even lie. They're just... Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm getting lost talking about my cat here, but as you can tell, I'm probably super excited. Apologies, that probably sounded terrible. I'm drinking a Costa right now. So, if you heard anything, I think this lid has got a hole in them, and it sounds like an elephant when I said it, really. I might just edit that out. That sounds horrible. So, actually getting into this episode, because I've been rambling for far too long. And the Bloody Mary folklore story, it varies quite a lot. From a conjuring ritual showing either a ghost, phantom, spirit, spectre, or a witch. And in some cases, this apparition is said to reveal the future. Which sounds kind of nice compared to my knowledge of literally summoning this entity and getting your eyes clawed out. Come to think of it, why the hell did I even do it? What are even the perks? You literally summon this thing and get your eyes clawed out. Yeah, maybe it wasn't the best thing to do. So, Bloody Mary may be a benevolent or malevolent, depending on the different variations you conjure up. It's common that this is usually done in a group activity or a group summoning, kind of like a seance, but with completely no knowledge. So, yeah, that's always going to turn out great, right? I don't know about you, but I've never done a seance. Like, I would really want to. I know I've got a family member who has done it, and they've had some interesting kind of answers and events that actually happened, which sometimes you just can't explain, right? Yeah, so I'd be interested in doing it. Like, if you guys know anyone, if you've had experience, yeah, I'd like to know. But I know, of course, there's going to be a lot of fakes out there. Which, yeah, it's hard to find and separate the fact from fiction, right? I do believe there are some people out there who are more gifted than others and can actually get in contact with people who have passed and... Or maybe... Yeah, I don't know, there's just so many stories, it's hard not to believe, right? Just people who can speak... I don't know how it works, how they target, or if it's just anyone, but I know people who talk to spirits on the daily, they don't know who they are. But of course, they're coming into contact. So yeah, it's interesting whether some people are just naturally more gifted or we've all kind of got this like latent ability to communicate, but in some people it's just maybe more active, or as an adult you kind of, like the way you're taught of science and everything like that, where you kind of, everything's got an explanation, right? And this is that, and that is this, etc. It's just whether some people actually hold on to it more? I don't know. It'd be interesting. I'd like to meet a medium. Maybe have them on, do an interview with the show and how they kind of found out they're a medium or something like that. So, if you're listening and you're a medium, That Haunted Show on Instagram, you know where it is. Get in touch. It'd be great to hear from you. So, where was I? Blah, 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 blah. Benevolent, malevolent, blah, 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 blah. I've lost where I am. Apologies. So, historically, the ritual was done by young women. They were meant to walk up... weird as this sounds, right? They were meant to walk up a flight of stairs backwards for some reason, holding a candle and also a hand mirror. Which, that enough sounds like a horrifying time, let alone doing it in pitch darkness, apparently. Jesus, I mean, history is wild, man. So as they backed up the stairs and gazed into the dimly lit mirror, they were supposed to catch a view of their future husband's face. So it sounds kind of nice, I guess. Weird little bit of divination to see your future husband and potentially seek him out in the future, I guess that's what you'd do, right? I don't know, it all just seems a little weird. I don't know if I'd really care or want to know, to be honest. It kind of ruins the fun of it, right? Like, say you're with someone now and it turns out the face you're seeing is someone completely different. You're going to be like, well, is this relationship doomed, or have I just seen this and doomed the relationship? It's like a glitch in the Matrix, man. Yeah, I don't know. It's like the whole thing about if you knew your future or when you were going to die or something like that, would you actually want to? Like, I know if I found out my future was bleak or boring, or if I was dying in a year, I'd be so stressed and literally lose my mind. It wouldn't make it be a fun time left, if you know what I mean. Because I know I'm literally going to kick the bucket any time. Like, death is literally round the corner. So I don't know if I'd really like to find out. I mean, I kind of think about this quite a lot. Like, when I was younger, I used to think, I wonder what I'm doing when I'm like 20. And then I get to 20. And I'm like, I kind of remember when I'd done it. And I was like, oh, yeah, not much. And then I was like, oh, I wonder what I'm doing when I'm 25. And, oh, not much. I'm only 26 now, but I'm already wondering about 30. And if I follow the current rate, it's going to be, oh, not much. But I guess podcasting's new. The show might still be around in 4 years. Who knows? I could be a 30-year-old podcaster. Almost verging on professional, I hope, maybe. Once my editing gets better and I actually make my voice sound presentable. Who knows? It could be good, right? But I like to think I'm getting better. It's hard to speak into just the void for about an hour or so and just speak into a microphone and just your own thoughts and just vent and kind of I research every episode and make notes. I almost like write a script every week, which is long. Each script is about 4,000 words, and yeah, it takes a while, but I kind of script it and bullet point it and stuff like that, and then I don't know, I end up rambling on like this, and that's how we get these episodes up to God knows how long. Like, if I just spoke about pure information, it would just sound robotic and boring, right? I don't know if you guys want that, or you enjoy my ridiculous ramblings, who knows? So, anyway, getting back to the story. There was also a chance you'd see something else other than your future husband's face. You could in fact see the Grim Reaper, which just sounds great. Of course, grim is never a good sign, and it meant that you were going to die before you got married. The joys. The so-called ritual today. God damn it, my phone again. Apologies. Maybe I didn't put it on silent. I put it on vibrate. Great. The so-called ritual today has changed slightly and consists of, and I hope I say this correctly, catopromancy? Right, wait here. I'm going to do a little Google. Oh my god, my microphone wire is in the way. Oh god, now everything's binging. Right. Here we go.
In American English, catoptromancy.
All right, here we go.
In British English, catoptromancy.
Okay, so it's different than English, apparently. So it's catoptromancy, that's it. Well, that was pointless and I probably wasted too long, but here we go. So catoptromancy, which is otherwise known as a type of divination using specifically a mirror. So typically, you'd have a group of people practicing catoptromancy. Oh god, I wrote this in too much. This is going to be a struggle. So this is done by repeating her name into a mirror, either in a dimly lit room or using a candle with just some subtle ambient lighting. In some traditions, the name must be repeated ranging from 13 times, or 3 times, typically, but there is many different variations, and of course using the 3 as a holy trinity, which is often used in some kind of demonic activities, as a kind of way of mocking it. So after repeating the chant and conjuring her up, you're meant to look into the mirror and the apparition is supposedly meant to appear. Often as a woman's corpse, sometimes as a witch. More often than not, the apparition is meant to actually be friendly, which I didn't actually know. but it can sometimes be seen covered in blood. This is usually a sign that she's... How did I write this? So yeah, if she's covered in blood, it's usually a sign that she's in an evil mood. I must have been tired when I scripted this episode. And well, I guess you don't say, like, it's not like every day you get the friendly corpse covered in blood to tell you your future, is it? Personally, I haven't actually seen this version, but damn, I'll be out of that room and burning that. I'll be out of that room and burning down that mirror in seconds. Well, I guess if my eyes haven't been clawed out. The actual law surrounding the ritual states that the participants must endure the apparition screaming out at them, which is said to be so fierce and loud that it makes your ears and eyes bleed. And if you survive this little warm-up act, she'll grant you your future, so great. Don't mind me while I wipe literal blood out of my eyes and ears. Great. Also, a few more chance happenings which have made me laugh. I really don't see many pros of actually doing this. I really don't know why I've done it so much, so the list goes as... And bear with me, this list is ridiculous. You get, of course, the screaming, getting cursed by the witch version, getting strangled by the corpse, having your soul stolen from your body, being pulled in the... this one's my personal favourite. Being pulled into the mirror and taken straight to hell, having your blood drunk, and finally, the scratching your eyes out. So... Why do we actually do this? Like, why is it a thing? I mean, if you fancy a cheeky one way ticket to hell, then sure, get straight on it. Sometimes chanting can go by a different name too. You can either chant Hail Mary or Mary Worth, which are the most popular other examples of the modern folklore. Also, there is another kind of folklore legend phenomena in Japan, which is quite popular in modern times. It's called Hanako-san, which really typically parallels the Bloody Mary mythology, so I'm guessing it's just their own kind of variant, in a way. Which is pretty cool. I like how we're open to other cultures and we're spreading the news. Obviously, I don't actually know where Bloody Mary started or anything like that, or, like, there's a lot of the folklore, and we don't know where it even started and stuff like that. So it's nice that it kind of, well, I say nice, it's really not a nice thing, but it's cool that it kind of gets passed on to different kind of countries and they put their own kind of spin on it. Or, I mean, it could have even come from there first and we could have put our own spin on it. Like, I don't even know. That it's really hard to find. It's like going into a loop. I can't find the actual woman it's based on. I can't find when it all started, but it just seems to have grown in popularity. I can't remember. I think it's in the 70s or something like that. And it just kind of grew from there, and then it kind of got a bit of momentum building, and then the films, the TV shows, the little spin-offs and podcasts, all the good stuff starts happening, and it just, like I said, builds momentum, and like I said, if you put enough energy in it, you're going to start manifesting things, but there's also a little trick, which I'll get to in a minute. So, I'm not even joking, I was not expecting this at all, but there is actually quite a lot of research into the Bloody Mary mystery itself. As it seems that it was really popular in the 1970s with children and, of course, young teen girls who have sleepovers and what they call, like, slumber parties, whatever they do there. So these young girls would giggle and squeal and practice divination in front of a mirror. But, of course, that isn't strictly a girl's thing. Boys can do this too. I know I've typically done this a lot of times and freaked a lot of people out by doing it. So, but it just seems that the lore it was kind of based on with the women walking up the stairs backwards to find the face of their future husband. I guess it was aimed at women initially, and it's kind of evolved over the years with hearsay and Chinese whispers changing it all up into what it is now. This ritual would typically be practiced in suburban bathrooms, mainly due to the fact they had large mirrors and were easily darkened even during day, due to the fact they had no windows. Well, usually anyway. So we may know where this folklore kind of started, but it seemed that there was really a large boom in the 70s where it really ramped up, especially, like I said, with young girls and children playing around and playing tricks on each other. The theory has been all kind of the same, though. It's always been a woman, and it's always been a Mary. Even though the Mary can actually be a different Mary, there seems to be different variations of this said Mary. And there's no kind of... This is the initial Mary who pops up and kills you. It's just different Marys. And like I said, it is just a loop. I can't find anything. I don't know if this is just a stupid story kind of spoken about over the years, but it's really hard to find any kind of solid actual facts on here. So, it doesn't seem to be set in stone, but you could technically summon anyone and anything, which I guess is why sometimes you could summon the old Grim Reaper and have a little chat, which sounds like a fun time. I'm literally thinking of, like, I don't know if you've ever played The Sims 4, but just having Grim pop over and having a cup of tea, you know how it is. Yeah, it's really weird. I guess with any kind of divination and conjuration rituals, you don't know what you're getting. Like, even with seances and professionals, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. You start messing into the unknown and things you don't understand. It's going to be hard. Like, you can't... There's no strict science to this. We don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. As much as you can kind of try, I guess, and communicate, who knows what's waiting on the other side, right? You could have anything, and I kind of want to do this for a separate episode, but yeah, I probably will, because I'll go on about it a little bit now, but it could definitely be a whole episode in its own right, which is like the whole kind of Ouija board epidemic, if we can call it that. Just because their rise in popularity so much, even people who aren't even interested in the paranormal know about Ouija boards, right? They know you use it to talk to spirits and conjure up demons and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of people it think it's cool, right? So, of course, you're going to do it. You're going to kind of communicate with the people who have passed, spirits, and you might get some questions answered. And in some cases, it can be really good. You can kind of feel that closure, like, who knows what could actually happen, which I know people who have had some serious, really good experiences with Ouija boards, but like I've mentioned, you're messing with the unknown, and it's, you never know what's waiting on that other side, whether it's some vengeful spirit or angry spirit or something like that, which is just waiting for someone to kind of open up a portal or a talkway, and that's it. As soon as you've kind of spoken, they've entered your kind of realm, that's it. You know, it could lead on to some kind of attachment or possession. I know demonic possessions, they are extremely rare, and I don't know how they start. It's usually a long-term thing. You're going to start getting sicker than you've ever been, more depressed than you've ever been, and until you can't take it no more, and until there's literally nothing left of you. And yeah, demonic possessions are one of the most horrendous things I think anyone can experience from going from what I've looked at, anyway. They seem to really burn you down until there's nothing left of you. You're just a shell. And the demon is now you, right? Which just sounds horrifying. And if you're messing around with Ouija boards, yeah, that could happen to you. It's a struggle. Like, you can kind of buy these things anywhere, and there's no, like, well, I guess they have instructions. You have the planchette, and you kind of, oh yes, put your hands together and summon and speak and all this kind of stuff. I've never actually used one myself, because I'd want to do it with someone who actually knows what they're doing, because I guess I'm kind of really superstitious, and I personally wouldn't want to risk it. I know, like, when it's done, you're meant to kind of close the board and say, like, okay, we're done here, don't follow me, kind of be assertive, otherwise, if you're kind of a pushover or something like that, I guess this kind of entity can really attach to you, and who knows what can happen from there, because that is a whole episode in its own right, which I really don't want to get into, because that can be horrible. So, getting back to a lighter topic, I'm talking about Bloody Mary, so it's probably not that light. But there's typically three common people who appear when you're doing the charm, ranging from Mary Tudor, who of course is Mary the First of England, who is known for killing hundreds of Protestants for heresy, giving her the glorious nickname of Bloody Mary. Mary Worth was also another one of the people who are supposedly meant to appear. She's one of the many, like, many witches, well, apparent witches, who were executed during the Salem witch trials. And oh man, don't even worry, there's definitely going to be an episode on that, because that is a horrendous time. I've listened to podcast episodes on the witch trials before, and kind of looked into it a little bit, just kind of vaguely, like, just the kind of history of it, and oh my, it sounds crazy. Like, what was going on? I can't remember if it's, as stupid as it is, I kind of get confused between that and the Roanoke Island kind of mystery. I kind of remember that someone left who was kind of in charge or something like that, and they just came back to an absolute mess where they were just burning these witches and doing trials or something like that, just because hearsay and people talking, and it just kind of spread if so-and-so's garden or crops were growing really well and it was just a woman there, there was no man, that's it, she's a witch, or her house was always clean, she's a witch. It is ridiculous, and yeah, it's like, we joke about it, but man, imagine being back then, right? You just kind of living your own life, you get accused by some man of being a witch, and that's it, you're up for trial, and some of the trials, like, throw you off a cliff with rocks tied to your feet. If you sink, you're a human. If you rise up, you're a witch. Of course you're gonna sink. Like, Jesus Christ. And what? So you sink, and they're like, oh, my bad, she was a human. It's ridiculous, right? It was just, if you're accused, you're guilty. And I was going to say guilty until proven otherwise, but no, you were just guilty, straight up. Like, if you died, okay, my bad. But if you lived, oh, you're a witch, but how many people are going to actually be a witch, right, back then? It's crazy. It triggers me. I can't even comprehend it. I'm not going to ramble on about it. Or maybe do it in a separate episode, actually. Roanoke might be a good episode. That was quite messed up. I know quite a bit about Roanoke. Maybe I'll put a poll on the Instagram. You guys can vote. It'd be interesting to see. So, where am I? Who actually knows? Oh yes, the names of the people appearing, right. So, I spoke about Bloody Mary. Oh god, I've said it again. Don't look in the mirror. Mary Tudor. Mary Worth, and one last person is Elizabeth Bathory, who again had an amazing nickname, which I wonder if you guys can actually guess. I'll give you a little bit of information about her to set the scene. Well, okay, so she was convicted of murdering hundreds of young girls so she could bathe. God. So she could bathe in their young, youthful blood. Any ideas for the nickname yet? I'll give you a second. Yeah, it's... Any ideas? It's actually the Queen of Blood, which just sounds beautiful. Lovely. But there is a technical term for this kind of phenomena, and weirdly enough, I've actually experienced it myself. And to my amusement, I have made people actually try this to kind of freak them out. I swear I'm not a prick, honest. I just do this kind of things just to annoy people and freak people out. Like, I am nice. Don't worry, I probably won't do it to you. I might freak you out when a horror film's on, but I'm not going to summon something into the room. At least, not intentionally. So yeah, I don't know if... Basically, the whole thing is, I don't know if you've ever done this or if you'd actually want to do this, but it's pretty cool. Or at least, I think so anyway. It's kind of like a life hack, a body hack. Not a life hack, a body hack, in a way. All you have to do is kind of... Apparently, you need a dim room for the actual kind of technical variation of this, but I always used to do it in just any room. All you need to do is just look in a mirror. So you kind of stare at yourself in the mirror, and it's the weirdest thing. Your mind literally starts to make things up, and you see this weird kind of distorted version of yourself, as well as seeing the background, sometimes literally kind of blur and melt away. I remember doing this when I was younger, and now I can't actually look into a mirror in the dark. So that's just great. Again, another reason why my family's home is super creepy. So, at the top of the hall, you kind of got the hallway, the bedrooms, bathroom, and then you've got the staircase going down, right? Then there's pictures all on the wall and stuff like that. And so straight ahead of you, the wall kind of does like a 90 degree, like right angle drop, and then return to the first floor ceiling, okay? So on that like 90 degree return, there is a mirror. And this mirror is... This mirror scares the hell out of me. Basically, it's just super creepy, right? You kind of... Yeah. So every time you walk down the stairs, and you kind of see behind you at the top of the stairs, and... Oh my, I've seen a few things in there, and like, now... I purposely duck every time I go down there and, like, force my eyes not to look into this mirror because the hallway gets really dark and every time I go and visit, it still haunts me to this day. I guess it's just a creepy house. But yeah, I remember a few times I've kind of seen like almost legs or something standing behind me when I've gone down those stairs, and it really freaks me the hell out. So ever since then, I just purposely avoid it, and it's still up now. I don't know if anyone else has kind of dealt with this, but I know it scares a lot of people. It's just, why? Mirrors are horrible things, man. It's just not nice. If you listen to my previous episode on the personal experiences, I actually found out the previous owner's wife did actually die in the house. And that's the voice my sister thinks she hears quite often. That's definitely creepy AF in its own right, okay? Like, aside from that, she sees... I'll save it. I'll get her on for an episode. There's definitely going to be a part two of my personal experiences, and probably get my sister on too, because she's had more than me, because... Man, that house is scary. And the best thing is, it really creeps my mom out. Like, all these kind of stories me and my sister have, it really freaks her out. Like, she believes, and has kind of had her own experiences and stuff like that, but nothing that we've actually seen. It's kind of different for her. And of course, my stepdad, he doesn't believe anything like that, so he's just like, whatever. Yeah, a random handprint appear on the door. Who cares? He'll like walk up and down the stairs in pitch black, and it doesn't even bother him. Like, I wish I could be like that. Like, as soon as darkness is there, my mind just runs, man. It's so bad. Apologies for my throat. So, where am I? Getting back to the actual experience, though. If you stare into a mirror for a long period, you do start to hallucinate. It's a weird and kind of oddly cool experience. Facial features are said to kind of distort, disappear, and even rotate, while all the hallucinatory effects can kind of summon up kind of animals, strange, odd faces appearing. This phenomenon is aptly enough named strange face illusion. Wow. That's one way to do it. I mean, I guess, say what you see. This iconic name was penned by Giovanni Caputo at the University of Urbino. Urbino? Urbino? He writes that this experience is said to be a consequence of dissociative identity effect, which causes our own brain's facial recognition system to kind of misfire and get confused in some weird kind of unidentified way. There are many other theories to this kind of phenomena, but this is the most common and has the most likely attributes to these kind of happenings. Looking at the actual evidence, can we say that spirit of one of these people, or the Grim Reaper, or the devil himself really appears? Probably not. Seems like the most likely version that you are just hallucinating. But does that take away from what you've actually seen? Hell no, of course it doesn't. Try it. I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff doing it myself, yet even from just a purely logical perspective, if you ask anyone to chant Bloody Mary at a mirror, they're not going to do it. Like, yeah, you could ask anyone. Ask your parents, ask your friends, ask your partners. They're going to be like, yeah, I'm not scared. It's not a real thing. I'm like, well, yeah, do it then. There's that little voice appears in the back of your head saying, this is a stupid idea, but what happens if she actually does show up? And that little voice is what manifests what you see. That little voice, which kind of believes it, is kind of putting your own energy. You don't want to believe it, but what if it does happen? What are you going to do then? So, like anything, if you've seen it, you've seen it. Yeah, it was probably a hallucination and not paranormal, but does that take away from the experience you've had at all? So, rip Bloody Mary, or whoever the hell appears. Sadly, you're just a figment of my own twisted and weird imagination. Still scary AF, though. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was definitely a quick little fun one to do and talk about something I know we all know about. But it was interesting to see what the actual folklore was based on. Even though in hindsight we really didn't find out that much, it's kind of a mystery. There's not much to it. It's no one knows how it started. No one knows who Mary is. It could be anyone. It could not even be Mary. I mean, we had an Elizabeth in there, right? But it's a weird experience, and which still freaks people out today. Then of course you do have the previous one of walking up the stairs backwards and trying to find your future husband's face, which, looking back, our modern version could just be linked to that. They may not even be related at all. It could not be the same kind of phenomena. If anything, it is purely just a divination or conjuration ritual which you are doing. Of course you don't know what's going to happen. who knows? You're not experienced, you're not professional. There are no professionals in the paranormal. Yes, you can say there is, but there's no strict science. You can know a fair bit, but academically, we're all on the same wavelength here. But yeah, it's kind of really evolved and it has really impacted the world in a way. I enjoyed it, and the fact that my own strange mind conjured up this creature is just even better. It just makes me really think how twisted I actually am. Yeah, I know you've all done it too. We've all been there. We've all looked in the mirror and said it. I'm gonna say it again, you ready? Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Oh my f***. My phone just went off as I said it and it scared the life out of me. Oh, Jesus, I had to cut that out. I might have to blur that because I swore quite a bit. Apologies, but... Oh, man, my heart is actually racing. Jesus Christ. What the... Oh, now I'm just talking because I'm scared. But we're going to round it off here. I hope you've enjoyed it, and if you have any strange or scary happenings of your own, please do get in touch. It'd be great to hear from you. You can either follow our Instagram at thathauntedshow or email us over at thathauntedshow@gmail.com. It'd be great to hear from you, as I'm hearing all of your own crazy stories on the daily, and it is just great. And whatever you're experiencing, be it paranormal or not, just know you're not alone, and you've always got someone to talk to here. Stay spooky. Good night.